From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This is part one of a special two-part episode with Justin Beretta. Beretta is one-third of the seminal bass movement act, The Glitch Mob. Along with Josh Mayer and Edma, Beretta has been at the forefront of the big West Coast sound which has swept the nation over the past few years. On top of their smash debut, Drink the Sea, The Glitch Mob has been touring non-stop and released a slew of remixes, including the widely popular Daft Punk remix, Re-Rezzed, for the movie Tron Legacy. Pretty cool. The trio is currently on the verge of releasing a brand new EP and diving into a 30-plus date summer tour that's going to take UA, Edit, and Beretta across the country and back again. On today's episode, Beretta talks about his own musical background, the early days of the Glitch Mob, and the creative process behind Drink the Sea. Today's show is brought to you by Regeneration Festival, presented by Madison House and 1320 Records. This brand new event will be taking place this weekend at Horning's Hideout, just an hour away from Portland, Oregon, and features some of the biggest names in electronic music, including Bass Nectar, Lotus, Big Gigantic, Paper Diamond, Elliot Lip, Emancipator, and of course, The Glitch Mob. More information online at regenerationfestival.com. The headliner at this inaugural Regeneration Fest is STS9. Here's Scheme from their brand new EP, When the Dust Settles. STS9 with their new track, Scheme. Well, let's get to the interview with Justin Beretta of The Glitch Mob. Because you're part of such a high-profile group, it's easy for you and Josh Mayer and Edma to be lost behind The Glitch Mob brand. So let's learn a bit about Justin Beretta. Tell me about your earliest musical experiences. What did you used to listen to as a kid? Did you play an instrument? That sort of thing.
So that's a great question. I come from Southern California, and there's a long lineage of punk shows, hardcore shows, hip hop shows, and that's really where I started getting really deep into music. I grew up in a family that didn't play instruments. They're music lovers. I'd say, actually, I was just speaking with someone the other day, and they asked what my earliest musical memory was, and after thinking about it for a little while and talking to my mom, I remember that it was Bob Marley. Legend was definitely one of the first things I remember hearing. And my dad was a big Grateful Dead fan, and there was lots of Doors and Led Zeppelin and stuff like that in my house.
Okay, so the classics and a lot of live music impact as well.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, as a young teen and growing up in Santa Barbara, I started to go, actually grew up in a place called Goleta, which is a little town north of Santa Barbara, which had a really great hardcore punk scene. There's lots of bands used to play there. You know, I've seen NoFX play at a 100-person venue called The Living Room, and Aquabats, and this band called Born Against, which I was really infatuated with at the time, but lots of hardcore. And then that sort of kind of led me to metal and hip hop and industrial music.
Were you a straight edge kid?
I got into straight edge thing for a little while in high school. Yeah, I wasn't super deep into it. I was straight edge until I discovered how much fun smoking pot and listening to music was. So that lasted for a little while. But yeah, when I really discovered electronic music, everything kind of changed. I would say from tracing the lineage from punk and hip hop, and then when I discovered industrial music, I loved it. There was a lot of KMFDM and Front 242 and stuff like that. But then I found Aphex Twin, and it was always game over. Like I pretty much fell in love with. At the time, was lots of Aphex Twin, Autechre, and then drum and bass, which was my real first true foray into making and performing music. I mean, I went and I was going to raves in Los Angeles. Around the time I was like 13, 14, I would drive down with groups of friends and tell my mom I was sleeping in my friend's house, and we would all truck down and go to these massive underground illegal raves in LA.
That would last until the sun came up and beyond.
Exactly, yeah. So at that time, I just became completely infatuated with the music, and I decided to go get a pair of turntables and spin drum and bass. And so we went down to the record shop, and I went and got the Metalheads Platinum Breaks collection and turntables, and sat there and started spinning for about a year. And that was that first year of figuring out how to put two records together at the same time. That was really my first foray into any sort of musical anything aside from listening, and from that point on it was a easy progression from that into producing, because I grew up with computers and I've been a pretty good hefty computer geek from I would say early childhood all the way into that point. So it was natural for me at that time to take my Gateway Pentium 90 Hertz and install an impulse tracker on it, which at the time was the easiest way to make music, where you actually, I must sound old saying this, but it's really funny, but at the time using an impulse tracker, you would actually program beats using lines of text.
Had to be impossible.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, there's actually still people that use them, just because there is actually stuff you can do with them that you can't do with other programs. And there's some kind of, it's kind of like riding a fixed gear bike or something. There's some zen of using a tracker, where I think Dabry on Ghostly Records, he still writes in trackers, and I think Machine Drum has done some stuff in there, although I could be mistaken. But yeah, so yeah, you write a little piece of code, a hexadecimal number, and then that really, that's a kick drum, and then another one is a snare, and so that's how I started writing music. So yeah, that was kind of my foray into all of this, and then it was all kind of just took off from there.
Here's the Eskimo remix of the Glitch Mob's Fistful of Silence from Drink the Sea Remixes Volume 1. Eskimo will be hitting Regeneration Festival along with the Mob this weekend. We'll be right back.
let's fast forward a little bit. I imagine you start playing out as a solo DJ, as a solo producer. What was the LA sound like at the time? I imagine this is early to mid 2000s and maybe even slightly before that.
Yeah, well, so actually I moved to Santa Cruz to go to school.
Okay.
And ended up in this scene in Santa Cruz and in San Francisco at the time, which is all kind of part of the Bay Area scene. And actually I was really good friends with at the time, his name was DJ Lauren, and he played Psytrance. You now know him as Bass Nectar, but we all kind of come from this Santa Cruz breaks and drum and bass and just kind of psychedelic beach party Burning Man scene up in Santa Cruz and San Francisco. And that's really where I started everything. So there was a lot of like drum and bass and break beats, and it was definitely where the whole thing kind of took hold. And I didn't really return back to the LA scene for quite a while after that. So that's actually where Glitch Mob really started too, was at the time I was playing a lot of these rain dance parties, and there's a lot of full moon parties that were happening up at the time. That's also where Lauren really first started doing everything. And people would drag a sound system out to the beach or to the desert or something like that and play these crazy outdoor raves, and we'd go to Burning Man and stuff like that. And then I met Josh through a friend and he was also playing that same circuit, I guess, of Burning Man events. And really kind of at the time, it was just a big mishmash of different genres happening. I mean, it's hard to even say what was really going on. This was kind of pre-dubstep taking over the world.
Right.
And Josh and I just became friends, and then he was friends with Ed. Then I met Ed, and we were all just kind of hanging out, playing solo DJ sets, and then decided to, at some point, it would be like Beretta was playing, and then Uwa was playing, and then Edit, and then at some point we just decided like, well, why don't we just see what happens when we hook up our laptops and just do it at the same time, because we have this 3-hour slot with all this playing back to back. So let's just tag team, and that's pretty much how the whole thing got started.
And it's not like when a drummer meets a guitar player and is like, hey, I know this dude that plays bass, let's get together and do this, because those roles are really well defined. When you're all three producing and you have very individual styles, and even though you may be in the same scene, you all have different weaknesses and strengths and sounds and,
right.
And you know, plugins and all, you know, you get down to the technical part of it. How do you go about saying, okay, let's do this all at the same time? How does it go from, okay, you play a track, then I'll play a track, then I'll play a track, like to doing it simultaneously?
Right. I mean, that kind of gets into the kind of, I guess, the progression of the group. But the evolution of the whole thing is interesting, and it kind of moves along with technology, really, because at the time we were playing, the very beginning of the Glitch Mob, we were playing on laptops, and at the time no one else was really doing that. I mean, there were other people too. I'm not saying that we're the pioneers of that whole thing. There's people that have been doing this long before us, but in the particular world, CDJs were popular at the time. People were performing off CDJ 1000s and hundreds, and we were doing the laptop thing, and the laptops were not very powerful either. At the time, this was like Ableton 4 or something like that, and it couldn't do as crazy of stuff. And what we do now with the laptops, we're performing an entire live show we couldn't have really done at the time. So what we would do is we would effectively DJ. So one guy would play a song, and then the other person would maybe to kind of improvise little bits on top of that, maybe just like an acapella, like Ed would play an instrumental beat, and then I would sync manually. The computers weren't even actually attached at all. It was like it's kind of like we all had our own turntable or something like that, like the Executioners used to do hip hop style, where we would just kind of riff off each other, and the thing was completely freeform. And we would just do these improvised DJ freeform set things with we kind of put bits of songs on top of each other. And so for a while it was really a DJ thing until we really all decided that we wanted to make music together. And then it just morphed into a live performance thing from then.
Don't be fooled, this isn't the Glitch Mob. This is their good buddy Lauren with Encore from the Wild Style EP. From his Wild Style EP. He's got a new album coming out August 2nd. He'll be at Regeneration Festival this weekend with the Glitch Mob. You can tell the second you hear a Glitch Mob tune, whether it's dropped in somebody's set or whether it's on some car commercial, very slow, almost tribal drums with this really powerful, overdriven bass sound and industrial effects. When was that moment when you guys realized that you had stumbled upon your signature sound? I was talking with your buddy RD a couple of months ago, and he recalls just being blown away. It might have been Shambhala or something like that, that people were just losing their shit to music at that BPM.
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's interesting now that dubstep has really become, I would say, like the most... it's just a really popular style of dance music right now, and people are used to the idea of dancing to slow music. But there was a point in time where that didn't really happen so much, and it was a really interesting thing to see, because people were used to something like house or techno or trance or breaks, and whenever you heard the word electronic music, you instantly thought.
That's what our website's named after.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think it was kind of a light bulb moment for us to realize that we could make dance music that had the kind of hip hop backbone, and because people had also been dancing to hip hop for years too. I mean, in the hip hop world, people dance and people have been dancing to music at that tempo for a long time, and so we just kind of took something from that world and injected it in our own little way into the like kind of electronic dance scene at the time. It's kind of merging two things together. There was really never a conscious decision for us to go ahead and do that. It was just what we wanted to do. We never really sat down and had a meeting about it and thought that we should do this. I think we were just really fucking around and just messing around with sounds, and we really just like music and hip hop and experimental stuff. And it was just, that's really the best way to describe it, is we were just messing around, and the experiment kind of
worked.
It made sense to people. And I think that it was something that we're still astonished to this day, to be honest, that we can go out there and just kind of fuck around and make tunes and people want to hear it. So that's really, we're really honored to get to go on stage and play music that we just really do because we like.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now you came up with beat scene guys like Daedalus and No Such Thing, but your heavy low end made you pioneers in the West Coast bass music scene as well. And on top of that, you guys are you really influence, and I imagine are influenced by, the glitch hop scene and a lot of that hip hop. So where do you fit? Is there a style or a movement that you more closely identify with, or are you sort of floating out on your own island?
Oh, that's a great question. But I think that in Los Angeles, it's a geographically very large city. So it's easy for lots of little worlds to exist out there. Like we're also friends with all these people in the beat scene. So we have got Flying Lotus, is a good friend of ours, and he lives in Mount Washington, and then Nosaj Thing lives in Pasadena. So we can all kind of be in the same place, but Los Angeles is massive. So we don't see each other all that much. We talk online. So it's really easy for tons of little styles of music to bubble up and kind of happen everywhere. But we also have, like you said, we have deep roots in the whole bass music scene. But what I will say about all that is that our natural progression and our happy place is really to not be categorized by anything. And I think it's also totally okay with us if people want to call us whatever it is they want, because I think it's a really useful way to be able to categorize music. I mean, we're not ever going to go out and say that we're bass music or glitch hop or beats or anything. But if people want to call us any of that, that's totally cool. I mean, there's a lot of young kids that are just getting into stuff that think that we're dubstep, and we don't consider ourselves dubstep, but if that's a way that helps someone understand what's going on, like, that's totally cool. So, but I think in a stylistic sense, we just really do our thing, and we don't really, I think we intentionally don't follow the trend of what's going on sonically. We kind of just put ourselves in a different place than everyone else and just kind of try to push ourselves sonically, and that I think it just has the result of really not being easily categorizable, which is we kind of like being in that question mark zone, really.
Starve the Ego, Feed the Soul, from the Glitch Mob's debut album, Drink the Sea. So let's talk about Drink the Sea, your debut album from last year. You had been together for a while. Obviously, members changed and shifted out of the group. The debut comes out, and then it's followed up by a flood of more material, remixes, mixtapes, bonus stuff. How long were you sitting on some of those tracks before they were released, and to what do we owe the prolific output since then?
Well, I think for Drink the Sea took about 9 months to complete from start to finish, and a lot of the stuff that came out after that, we weren't actually sitting on. What happened was really, we really just rebooted our entire way of writing music, and the whole creative process was just such a deep thing that we just didn't do anything in that other than that 9 month phase. We just shut down and we decided to reapproach the way we write music and really just write an album that was a whole different thing for us, and kind of a narrative collection of stories, songs from that you could listen to from start to finish as a listening record. And that was the goal for that record. And that just took us really kind of not doing anything else. And then right after that, I mean, we do work pretty fast too. So we just, I mean, we were touring pretty much constantly after the album came out for the entire year, and we were writing on the road. And since there's three of us too, we can also work pretty quickly. And we've just been really just churning out stuff since then. And we work pretty much all the time. So
I imagine. But let's unpack that creative process. I wonder, do you all bring your various pieces to the table and democratically try and sort them out and twist up the work of your colleagues? Or is it, you know, one of you brings an almost finished piece of music to the table and the other sort of add their flavor to it? I wonder how that works behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I think there's kind of two pieces to that. I think on the higher level, the creative process is actually part of the creative process for us. And what that means is that we change it up each time we do it. So Drink the Sea, we had a specific way of working, and then on a remix we'll work one way, or we'll just figure out whatever works best and for that specific project. And when we were writing Drink the Sea, it was a very monophonic way of writing, in that there was one person in the chair, in the studio chair at all times, and the other guys were in the room, and then we would rotate. So there was really just one thing happening at all times, and then we were all kind of inputting. And because it was such a detailed thing, we just rotated throughout the chair, and then it was a very collaborative process. Very like everyone was doing everything on that. One guy would do the drums for one song, and then we would rotate in and out like that. The latest way we've been working is different, and we've been writing in a much more modular fashion, where we do sketches of songs. So we just experimented for this new EP we just finished, where we would write a song a day for 10 days. So after 10 days, we have 30 sketches, and it was just really quick, almost like garage band sounding stuff that's just be an experiment or a study in a certain thing, say sidechain compression or this specific blues scale or whatever. And then we would all listen through and pick out little bits of each of these sketches that sounded cool. Cause out of each guy's 10 songs, there's going to be a couple things in there. And then we can, using Ableton, because it's also modular, we can put all these things together into a matrix and kind of mosaic together some interesting things out of that. So it's a pretty level playing field, and then we just kind of keep the rotation going like that until the songs are done.
We started with it, and we're going to end with it. This is the Beats Antique remix of the Glitch Mob's We Swarm from Drink the Sea Remixes Volume 2. Beats Antique will be performing at this weekend's Regeneration Festival alongside STS9, Bass Nectar, Lotus, the Polish Ambassador, the Great Mundane, Tycho, Little People, Eskimo, and a slew of others, including the Glitch Mob. The festival starts this Thursday at beautiful Hornings Hideout, less than an hour away from Portland, Oregon. Please visit regenerationfestival.com for tickets and more information. Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'll finish up my interview with Justin Beretta with a discussion of the Glitch Mob live show and this brand new 3-song EP coming out in mid-July. If you're going to see the Glitch Mob this weekend at Regeneration, or you're super psyched about the new release, or both, let us know. Hit us on Twitter, @TheUnsPodcast, all one word. Also, let me know who you'd like to hear on this program, and if you've got any questions for Zugma or Porter Robinson. Let's check in on the Unz.com contest page. If you're a fan of the Glitch Mob, which I have to imagine you are, you've got two chances to win tickets to see them in both Pittsburgh and St. Louis. We also still have pairs of festival passes for North Coast in Chicago, Liberate in Vermont, Camp Barefoot in West Virginia, Resurgence, Recreation, and Underground Sound. All you have to do is visit the Unz.com, sign up, click on contests, and find out which shows you want to see for free. Once you press enter, you're in. Ooh, we also have copy tickets. Please visit theUnz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUnz.com. That's ANAND @theUnz.com. Catch you tomorrow.